Welcome to Worship in Spirit and Truth, where Dr. Demetrius Katos, Chairman of the Religious Studies Program at Helena College in Brookline, Massachusetts, helps listeners understand and celebrate the Divine Liturgy.
Hello, and welcome to Worship in Spirit and Truth, installment number 6, Repent, for the Kingdom of Heaven is at Hand. The month of March always coincides with Lent, and how appropriate. March marks the beginning of spring, which is a period of renewal and growth for nature. The blossoming plants, the shrubs, the trees, they all presage the clement and beautiful days of summer that are coming, and the wonderful fruits and flowers that we're going to enjoy. Likewise, Lent is a period of renewal that presages the blessings we will enjoy in celebrating our Lord's passion and resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. This spiritual renewal, however, is not an automatic result of the season. It requires some effort on our part. We have to do something in order to profit and to reap the bounty that's being promised to us. Now, there are various metaphors and images that are attributed to Lent in the hymns of the Church. For example, in one hymn, Lent is described as a gladiatorial arena of virtue, an arena in which we struggle with all our might to acquire the virtues that we need in life. In another hymn, Lent is described as a tithe of our time. Now, that's a really interesting metaphor, a tithe of our time to the Lord. After all, it's about a tenth of the year. Remember, Lent is known in the Orthodox tradition as the holy and great 40 days. 40 days, about a tenth of the year. But how do we struggle for virtue in this gladiatorial arena? Or how do we tithe our time to the Lord? Well, there are many ways, but they all share one thing in common, and that's repentance. Now, in this ongoing series of podcasts, I've been discussing different dimensions of the Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, which is, of course, the weekly liturgy of the Orthodox churches. And I've been doing this in order to help you celebrate this Divine Liturgy each week with greater profit. If you recall, in last month's podcast, I likened the Divine Liturgy to the vision of Isaiah chapter 6, because in it, that is, in the Divine Liturgy, we come before the Holy One of Israel and we sing, "Holy, holy, holy," along with all the seraphim and the cherubim. I closed that podcast by saying that any genuine encounter with the Holy One of Israel is going to prompt us to repent, just as it prompted Isaiah to repent and to cry out, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips." So this month, I would like to continue with this theme and explore the topic of repentance. Many of you have probably already read about it, especially if you enjoy reading the ascetic literature. But our primary concern, the primary concern of this podcast, is our weekly worship and the Divine Liturgy. So where does repentance fit in there? Well, what you'll see today is that it's in the Divine Liturgy that we learn the meaning of repentance, and we actually get a chance to practice it. All right. So the first thing we need to do is we need to understand what it is that we mean when we say repentance. Now, the Greek word for repentance is metanoia or metania, which literally means a change of the mind. It's important that we start here. Repentance does not mean self-flagellation. There are too many movie-like images that have been seared into our mind that suggest repentance means to humiliate oneself or to debase oneself in some sort of self-inflicted punishment. Let me disabuse you of these images right now. Forget them all. This is not what we're talking about. Repentance, rather, is heartfelt, sincere desire for change. A heartfelt, sincere desire for improvement. Now, this is a universal human need. Many times Christians are belittled for emphasizing sin and repentance, but go to your local bookstore and look at how many countless volumes fall under the category of self-improvement, of home improvement. I can't even imagine the number of improvements that are out there, but you get what I mean. It's unfortunate that today many treat sin like a four-letter word. We don't want to admit that we sin, or that we have sinned, or that we might sin. But let's be honest, folks. Just as we say in our memorial services, there is no one who has lived and has not sinned, except for Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of us can examine themselves with honesty and not admit that they have done wrong or harm? and again in our liturgical language, whether in word, deed, or thought. Even if we're not guilty of some grave or mortal sin, we have all fallen short of that full humanity that God had originally intended for us, and which we finally realized when we saw Jesus Christ, when we witnessed the life of Jesus Christ. And for this reason, repentance, above all, is a desire to be honest with oneself and to recognize all the ways in which we have not lived like Jesus Christ, who, in the words of St. Paul, while we were yet sinners, nevertheless died for us. So, stated more positively, repentance means undertaking with renewed vigor the task of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, right out of Luke 10 and Deuteronomy 6. What does any of this have to do with the Divine Liturgy? Well, what I'd like you to come away with from today's podcast is that in the Divine Liturgy, we learn and we practice repentance. Okay, how do we do that? Well, when we sing the thrice holy hymn, the so-called Trisagion, or Trisagion, which we talked about also in last month's podcast, we call upon the holy, mighty, and immortal God to have mercy on us. This brings us back to that image earlier of Isaiah. It's not possible to reflect for even a moment upon God's holiness with sincerity and to not realize how far short we fall of that holiness. What else can you do or say when we encounter God's holiness but to ask for forgiveness? That's why we sing, Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. Now, this is also why the Divine Liturgy is replete with petitions that ask God for forgiveness. There are numerous petitions that ask for the forgiveness and remission of our sins and transgressions, or, in another petition, for the completion of our lives in peace and repentance. When we come into this holy house, when we see the glory of God filling the temple, we realize that we need to repent. Is it any surprise that throughout the liturgy we keep singing, Lord have mercy, Kyrie eleison? This prayer comes so readily to our lips because the more time we spend with God, the more we realize we need to repent. Now, okay, this might all seem really depressing. Are we so intransigent? Are we so incorrigible that we have to spend the rest of our lives repenting of little sins and of big sins that we can't stop committing? Well, that's the wrong perspective to have. And again, listen to the liturgy. The next time you're in the liturgy, listen carefully to the prayer that is read just before or sometimes during the thrice holy hymn. Although we're deeply saddened by the weakness and frailties of our nature, although we come to God asking and begging for repentance, we take joy in knowing that God, as the prayer says, did not overlook the sinner, but has established repentance as the way of salvation. God did not overlook the sinner, but has established repentance as the way of salvation. It's a bailout, folks. What more could we have asked for? And just like the nearly $800 billion bailout of 2009, establishing this bailout, this gift of repentance, was not cheap. We were bought with a price, namely the breaking of the body and the shedding of the blood of the most perfect Paschal Lamb, Jesus Christ. Okay, so enough talking. Let's start doing. Let's start repenting. Where do we do that? Let's start repenting at home in the way that we relate to our spouse, to our children, to our relatives. Let's start repenting outside the home by the way we relate with our friends, with our colleagues, with our employers, with our employees. Let's start repenting by changing the way that we relate even to people we don't know, all of whom are our neighbors, and Christ's brothers and his sisters, and who were made according to the image of God. Let's start repenting by honestly examining ourselves on a daily basis. This is what Lent, the tithe of our time, was meant for. Now, I started this series by promising you I will not ask more of you than what you can do during the course of the Divine Liturgy. So maybe I've transgressed those borders just a little bit. Forgive me. Let's get back to the liturgy. Let's start repenting by examining ourselves honestly during the Divine Liturgy. And don't forget, at the climax of the liturgy, we partake of that precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's at that moment when we experience the full measure of God's holiness. And we know that God's holiness is pure love. That's why during the Anaphora we pray, "You are holy and most holy, and sublime is your glory. You so loved your world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." As I have already said so many times in just this podcast, let alone the last one, an honest examination at this moment, when we contemplate the holiness of God, can only lead to repentance. If it doesn't, we're not being honest. We're not being sincere with ourselves. This is why when we approach for communion, we read prayers in which we quote the words of St. Paul. We confess that we are the foremost of sinners. This is from 1 Timothy 1. Communion of the Eucharist, after all, is a fulfillment and an inheritance, as we say in those prayers, of the kingdom of heaven. And as St. John the Baptist and the forerunner, and even Christ himself proclaimed to us so many times, this is the only way to prepare for that kingdom, repentance. Repent, they said, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
You've been listening to Worship in Spirit and Truth with Dr. Demetrius Katos. Join us next time when his topic will be Christ is Risen. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.